Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, it is so good to be able to come before you, to enter into your presence, not by the works we have done, but through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just pray tonight that as we look through your word and explore your scriptures, you will give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. Lord God, we pray that this word tonight will be your word, not my own. This word will penetrate deep into our hearts and mold us and shape us into the image of your perfect risen Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen. I remember the last time Mundaring Weir overflowed. I had to look it up, but it was way back in 1996. You girls wouldn't have been born then, would you? 1996. I remember it. Cause one of my best mates had just gotten his car license and looking for a place to go. That was one of the first places we went up to check out the amount of water that was pouring out of the weir. And I'm glad we took that opportunity because it's been a long time since you've seen it. It was so huge. The effect of all that water, the dam filled beyond capacity, pouring out into the lying Helena Valley. It was incredible to move on from that place around to Bell's Rapids. And they've got a beautiful bridge, and there you can stand over the water as well. Really close, you can feel the spray as it pours out. And I couldn't help but think about these two pictures of a dam filled beyond capacity and a rushing, raging river, and how that relates to our life as a Christian. Our Heavenly Father has filled our lives beyond capacity with His blessings. And as a result, our praise and worship of Him should be flowing out, overpouring. It should be impacting those around us. It should be like that rushing river where the spray of our praise, our worship is felt by those near us. It was good to see the overflowing dam. It is so much better. So good to see a Christian overflowing with their love for their Lord and Savior and Heavenly Father. Like I mentioned, our lives have been flooded beyond measure with God's richest blessings. It is the right response that we praise and glorify our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior. It should be pouring out from our hearts, from our lives. I love in this passage, that verse, what an amazing truth to consider that even before the world was created, God personally chose you. What an amazing truth. He chose you and I to be worshippers of Him, despite our sin, despite our rebellion. It was always God's will that through the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, we would be made holy. As a guarantee of our salvation and future inheritance, God has personally sealed you with His Spirit. What a beautiful thing to be reminded that the God and Father, Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit are each personally involved in your salvation. And they are working together to make you into a worshiper to the praise of His glory. And that's really the chief end. As you might have noticed, the title of tonight's sermon is To the Praise of His Glory. It's a small phrase which keeps coming up within this passage. And it's so essential for getting a right focus. Our God reigns and rules over all things. After reading this passage, I'm certain that you, like me, just cannot help but declare our God is an awesome God. As we read this passage, did you see the phrases? The will of God, His will, He chose, His kind intention, His purpose. These phrases remind us that nothing can ever stop or hinder God's divine will. We serve the Almighty God, the one true sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. It should fill our hearts with joy and peace to know the one who knows all things and sees all things and works all things to His will sees you. He sees me. And He thinks that we are worth saving, even to send His Son Jesus to shed His blood for you and I. We have every reason to praise our God, and that He alone rules and reigns and works all things to His will. Let's read the first verses 3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the kind intentions of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestows on us, the beloved. God has blessed us. As children of the one true God, we are privileged, highly privileged. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. In this passage, we see three particular blessings that come out that God has given to us. And why has He given it to us? For the praise of His glory. He has blessed us when He chose us. He has blessed us because He has made us holy and blameless. Finally, God has richly blessed us when He predestined us to be sons and daughters. We need to take hold. We must take hold of these blessings in our life, that our life would overflow with praise and worship for our great God. We are blessed because He chose us. We didn't choose Him. Before anything was ever created, God chose you. Even Jesus speaks about this in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 34. We can turn to that. And here, chapter 25, verse 34. Jesus speaks about how we are blessed because we were chosen before the world began. So chapter 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Even Christ is reminding us that our God has chosen us, that we are blessed, that we were chosen before the world began. God, knowing how we would reject him, rebel against him, and turn to our own way, has still chosen us. We have not been chosen because of our good works or righteousness. No. God chose us because of his measureless love, to the praise of his glory and grace. Next reason we're blessed is because in Jesus, we are blameless and holy before God. Yes, we still sin. And trust you know Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, reminding us all of us have sinned. And 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, reminding us that we all do sin, but as God's children, we can be returned to him. For those of us who believe that Jesus is Lord of our life and Savior, though we sin, when our Heavenly Father looks at us, he only sees the blood of Jesus covering us, covering our lives. Through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, though we do sin, though we do fall, we are counted as blameless and holy before our God. What a God! Does that touch your heart? To think that he loves you so much, despite our shortcomings, he would still count us holy and blameless. We are blessed because God has predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Christ. Our salvation through Jesus wasn't plan B. God didn't have to rethink salvation because sin entered the world. No. Our salvation through the blood of Jesus was God's first and last and only plan. Before the foundation of the world, God set us apart, not only to be holy and blameless, but to be welcomed fully into a perfect relationship with him. As servants? No. As acquaintances? Definitely not. He has welcomed us as sons and daughters of the Most High. Praise his name. According to the kind intentions of his will through Jesus Christ, we are sons and daughters of the Almighty God. Does that fill your heart with praise? Read with me as we go through the rest of the chapter, so the rest of the verses 7 to 14 in Ephesians. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us with all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to the kind intentions which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. To the end, that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. Throughout this passage, it is clearly declared that it was God who chose us. He made us holy. He made us blameless. He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters. All of this to the praise of his glory. It was our Heavenly Father's will that we have these blessings, and he caused these things to come into being through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is God's will that through Christ and Christ alone that we are able to know redemption, that we are able to know true forgiveness, that we are able to obtain the inheritance that he has predestined for us. In God's perfect time, he opened salvation to all mankind through Jesus. The Old Testament speaks of the promise of one who is to come, a mystery of this one sent by God remained shrouded. The people were unable to fully comprehend who God's Christ was going to be. One who would restore mankind back into relationship. But the truth of Christ remained veiled in a mystery until God declared it was the time for the fullness, it was the right time, the fullness of time to reveal Jesus. It was at that moment that God chose to administer or to give out salvation through Christ so that all could have forgiveness and redemption, and all could have inheritance found in Jesus alone. God chose to redeem his children back to himself through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we can feebly grasp at the immeasurable cost of our salvation. Through Jesus' death on the cross, we can really inadequately understand how immeasurable the depth of God's grace is for us. God redeemed us from the curse of sin and death. He had to make a sacrifice that would remove sin's death grip once and for all. Sacrifices of lambs and bulls on Hebrew altars could only offer temporary relief to the guilty conscience. The only way we could ever know lasting forgiveness of our sins and sanctification is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews we read, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. But God has willingly given Christ, to give Christ's blood to wash away our sin, to take away our guilty conscience, so that we could be made worshippers of him. Finally, as a sign to confirm that God has indeed redeemed you and washed away your sin through Jesus shedding his blood, he has given us the Holy Spirit. Do you pick up on the name they give the Holy Spirit? I really like that. In this passage, he's referred to as the Holy Spirit of promise. One day, we will be lifted into glory, where we will see God face to face. We will spend eternity with our Savior, God the Father, and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, have sealed us with their Spirit. They now dwell within the hearts of believers. And this gives us a certainty, a hope, that we are heading towards a great inheritance, to the praise of His glory. That Holy Spirit should give you so much peace and joy. So, in closing, what is your heart's response when you consider that you are God's child? Our hearts should spontaneously overflow with praise and worship for our God. By the sovereign will of God and through His immeasurable grace, our Heavenly Father has blessed us, has chosen us, has predestined us to be sons and daughters, to redeem us. He gave us Jesus so that through His sacrifice and blood, we can know true redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Through God's grace, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, as a pledge or a promise of our inheritance and future to come. God has done all of this for the praise and for His glory. Amen.